I want to ask you a couple questions as we get started this morning. And you don't have to answer out loud, but I'd like you to come up with an answer to both of these questions. The first question is, what is the oldest thing that you own? What is the oldest thing that you own? Okay, the second question, what is the most valuable thing you own? Not necessarily the most expensive, but the most valuable thing that you own. Now, I won't tell you that they can't be the same thing. In fact, sometimes they probably are the same thing, just depending on what you find to be valuable and what you find to be old. What if I told you that the answers that you came up with probably isn't right? You probably did not think of the answer to those two questions. Now, I have to admit, it wasn't for me. If I were to tell you what is the oldest thing I own, it's probably something that has been handed down to me from my father that was his mother's before him. And the most valuable thing that I own, well, it's a toss-up because, well, I kind of knew where I was going. But I would probably end up telling you that the most valuable thing I own is my wedding ring. Yet I believe that the answer to both of those questions would probably and should probably find its answer in the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Chapter 8 of Proverbs, the writer is speaking about wisdom. And from the beginning of that passage, the writer is speaking of wisdom. But in verse 10, the writer says that wisdom is worth more than silver or gold, thus making it the most valuable thing that we can possess. And from the 22nd to the 31st verse of that proverb, we're told that wisdom is one of the most ancient things in the universe. In fact, it says that wisdom was present when God created the universe. And that makes it the oldest thing that we can, or should I say, should possess. Hosea is going to teach us what it means to have wisdom, and what having real wisdom looks like. This morning our text is going to be from the last verse of the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 14, verse 9. And I just tell you, if you've got your Bible open this morning or a Bible app, don't close it when we're done with the book of Hebrews. H&H, they start the same, but they're not the same. Hosea, because we're going to be doing some turning as we go on from here in the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says this. He says, whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. The writer of Hebrews. What? Hosea. Yeah, that's definitely Hosea. Sorry. What the writer of Hebrews is going to show us is what having wisdom looks like. But one of the things that that I've noticed as I study the writings of Scripture, as they talk about wisdom, is that wisdom is very circular in nature. The writers of the wisdom literature write and say at some points that the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. But in other cases, they say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so you have to have some wisdom to fear the Lord, but as you fear the Lord, you gain more wisdom. And so I think that we can learn from what Hosea is writing to the people of Israel, or probably at this point to the people of Judah, we can learn about wisdom. He begins with the prompting, or promptings, telling us about wisdom. He talks about the wise. And when we look at that word, the Hebrew, you know that when we translate from one language to another, there's very rarely a true one-to-one conversion from what you say to what you mean. We often are forced to use a single word, and the translators have chosen the word wise, which is a good translation. But wisdom, or being wise, refers to more than just pertaining or having a bit of information. Wisdom refers to the sense of having discernment that manifests itself in the ability to make good decisions. Wisdom is having information, but it's the ability to take that information and to apply it to a situation that you are facing. In fact, if you read through the writings of scriptures, if you look at the world around us, you find that many times the people that seem to be the wisest aren't necessarily the most well-educated. And honestly, if we look at the world, we can see that there are times that some well-educated people make some really bad decisions. And the writer of Hosea is telling us that wisdom is the ability to look at the situation and know how to react in a given situation. In fact, he's saying, look back over what I have written. Look at the things that I have told you and mentioned to you. And the wise person will know how to take that information and apply it to the situation that they're living in. And Hosea is saying that if you have paid attention and you have wisdom, you will know how to live in light of the reality that they were facing at that moment. Now, we don't live in a situation exactly like Hosea's. But yet we can be wise by learning to discern the situation around us and applying the truths of Scripture. The second thing that the writer of Hosea says is he says that whoever is discerning. Now, you have to remember, or maybe you don't know and I need to tell you for the first time, but Hebrew, when they would write, especially in poetic style, they would use, you know, we do poetry, we use words that rhyme. Or we use words that fit into a good meter and have a flow to them. Oftentimes, the Hebrew, when they would write their poetry, it would come out in couplets or triplets, where they would say something, and then they would say almost the exact same thing with just a slightly different wording. And that's what, in some ways, that is what the writer of Hosea is doing when he says wisdom and discernment. He's reiterating the same point by coming at it and saying it slightly different. We today might find different ways to attempt to do the same thing. Because part it was poetry, and part it was done for emphasis, to help people remember what they were hearing. But he says that the discerning person, he talks about being discerning, and discerning, again, it's tough to use one word and convey everything that is meant, because it is an activity of perception via the senses or mental comprehension and understanding. So being discerning is being able to look at the situation and to understand what is happening. And so the writer of Hosea was looking, and he's talking about people being perceptive. He says, look at what I have told you that God has said is going to happen. And then look at the culture around you and see if what I'm saying is right. See if you can fit what he is saying into the truth that they were living. And he's saying, if you are discerning, you will understand what's going to happen next. You know and you can see what is happening, the way things are, and now you can see what is coming next. And Hosea is simply looking at them and saying, I've told you what God is doing because of the way the situation is. Pay attention. To be able to understand and recognize two words that Hosea also used. Once he talks about being wise and being discerning and giving us that information, he says to have understanding and to recognize. You see, Hosea has been giving a prophecy. Most of the prophecy that Hosea gave wasn't concerned with what was going to happen in the future. Most of the prophecy that Hosea was writing about was the covenant that God had with the people and how the people had broken that covenant. And so most of Hosea's prophecy is concerned, or has been concerned, with talking about the sin of the people. Talking about the sin that they have committed, talking about the sins that they continue to commit, talking about the sins that they just don't want to let go of. And he's calling them to pay attention to what God has said and what God is saying. And in doing so, he's calling them to repentance. The understanding and the ability to recognize go hand in hand. They understand the sin and they recognize what God is calling them to do. Or they understand what God is calling them to do and recognize the sin in their lives. Whichever way you want to look at it, Hosea is talking about the wise person being able to do that and understand that there is coming, if they refuse to repent, there's coming a time of judgment. And as you read through the book of Hosea, when Hosea talks about the judgment, he simply is saying the same thing that Moses predicted would happen. You go back to Deuteronomy specifically, and there is a list of blessings, and then there is a list of curses that's about three times as long as the blessings. And Hosea, like many of the other prophets, simply says to the people, because of your sinfulness, because you have sinned and continue to sin, this is what God is about to do. And he's calling them to repent. And Hosea is saying that the wise person will hear the sinfulness and see the sinfulness, and they will hear the call to repentance. But we also understand God's righteousness. If we read the book of Hebrews, I did it again. Man, I don't even have Hebrews in my notes for anything. Maybe I'm in the wrong place this morning. Yeah. I need to reread Hebrews a few times. God's righteousness. One of the things that Hosea is doing as he gives his prophecy is showing the righteousness of God. And he's saying that the wise and the discerning person will be able to see God's righteousness through the prophecy that has been spoken. I like this. I was studying this week and I came across this from a commentary from 1948. Andrew Fawcett says, "The ways of the Lord are right, not because we see the reason of them all, but simply because they are the Lord's ways." Have you ever noticed in life that sometimes the way that God calls us to live doesn't seem to make sense? We don't always understand why God calls us to live certain ways. And Hosea was speaking to the people, and he was saying to them, I understand. You guys are trying to make sense of life. You're trying to live certain ways, but that's not how God operates. And God calls us to live in His truth, or out of His truth. And so we see the righteousness of God is in His keeping the covenant. How many times had Israel as a whole nation, and then Israel the northern tribes and Judah the southern tribes, how many times had they failed to live up to the covenant that God had made with them? Well, let's see. If we started counting, we have to start... We have to start probably with the golden calves at Mount Sinai. Yeah. And then the refusal to trust God to take them into the promised land, and then trying to take the promised land on their own, and then grumblings and complainings and all kinds of misgivings as God had promised to provide for them, and they kept not trusting. We could go on and on, and we could get to the point where Hosea is writing, and just the sins that are listed in our scriptures would take us the rest of the day. But God kept His end of the covenant. He continued to provide for them. He continued in many ways to protect them. He continued to be faithful to the covenant when they were unfaithful. And Hosea is reminding the people that they can have understanding, they can discern that God has been faithful when they have not. But Hosea is also saying that they need to be wise and discerning when they look at the coming judgment, because when God brings or allows the judgment that is to come, God is only being faithful to the covenant. Hosea is saying, you'll go back and look at the book of Deuteronomy, look at the law of Moses that was given to our fathers and our forefathers, and see when judgment comes, that God is not only doing what He said He would do. And so Hosea tells us about the promptings, the prompting to be wise, the prompting to be discerning, the prompting to put those two into practice. Well, this verse calls the reader to be wise by discerning the truth, and to be righteous by doing what God wants. And so we have the promptings and we have the responses. We have the promptings to be wise and to be discerning, and then Hosea turns and he says, okay, this is what you do with that information. He isn't just putting things out there for people to hear to fill up the void of noise. He's rather calling the people to do something, to be something, to respond to the message that God had sent. And so we have the responses. And as I was thinking about the responses from the book of Hebrews, or Hosea, I stopped short of the S, so I didn't say the whole word. I caught myself before I finished. Hosea, as I was reading this, these verses from 1 Corinthians came to my mind, especially with the responses. This is what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those, or to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside.' Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that you were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong." And so, we have to keep that in mind as we think through the responses that Hosea is calling the people to. That God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He's chosen the weak things to show his power and his strength. And what Hosea is calling us to do is to live accordingly. Hosea is telling the people, you have heard the words that I have shared. And later, the words that have been written and shared with an audience. And he says at the end of his book that to have wisdom is to live according to the words, the message that has been spoken. You see, wisdom and discernment leads to understanding. And that wisdom and discernment are supposed to lead us to action. When we hear the message of God and we are confronted with the truth, we're not simply supposed to say, "Oh, that's nice. I like what you had to say. Thank you." The word is spoken so that we will do something. Hosea's audience was being called to respond. They heard, they had wisdom, they had discernment. He says if you have wisdom and discernment, it is supposed to lead to action. And the text of Hosea invites the reader to a way of life. This is from another commentary. The author says the text invites the readers to a way of life. It is a path that leads to understanding and to God. And then a few words or sentences later, he continues, "Therefore, the key to interpretation is not intelligence, but submission." Wisdom is not about intelligence, it's about submission to the Word of God. Because many times the things that the world says are important, God says, you don't need to worry about that. And the things that the world says, oh, that's nothing, don't worry about that. God says, oh, pay attention and live. And the text of Hosea invites the readers to a way of life. A way of life that includes repentance, understanding what's wrong, seeing what's wrong, and seeing the right way and turning to the correct way. And a change in life. Hearing and knowing the truth, he calls us to change our lives. In Hebrews' day, or in Hosea's day, for his Hebrew audience, that might have meant a change in commitments. The commitment that they had, the commitment that we've looked at, the commitment to worship the Baals and the Asherahs, to worship the golden calves that Jeroboam the first had set up. Hosea is calling the people to change their commitments. And in fact, if you study and you read the book of Hosea and you understand the time, Hosea was written probably about the time, or the end of Hosea was probably written about the time of the fall of Samaria. And so those who heard the message of Hosea and heard verse 9, the very end of his prophecy to the people, it probably also meant a change in location. Hosea is telling the people what is about to happen to the northern tribes of Israel. And we know historically that some of the people who were living in the north migrated to the southern tribe of Judah. Listening to and hearing Hosea speak very likely meant the people who were acting the way that he was calling them to act, calling them to live in wisdom, meant that they were going to leave their home, leave their way of life, leave their commitments, and leave all of those and move to the southern tribe of Judah and to take up residence there. Because much of the way of life of the people of Israel was being undermined by the government's push for syncretic worship. And the priests were encouraging people to live in ways that were against what God had called them to do. God had called them to his wisdom, not the foolishness that the world calls wisdom. But there will always be those who reject the truth. And Hosea warns that while the righteous will walk in the ways of truth, he says the transgressors will stumble in them. And again, I thought of the writings of Paul from the book of Romans. He says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations and foolish, and their foolish heart was darkened. Proclaiming to be wise, they became fools. And Hosea says that the transgressors, the fools, will not listen to the words of God. They will not listen and they will not obey. Oh, they've heard. Hosea is talking about people who've heard. Today in our age, Paul was writing to the Romans and saying, talking about people who had heard the truth, but they chose not to believe it. In our day, it's people who have heard, people who have seen not just the lives that people who follow Christ live, but they have seen the truth in many ways. The truth that God is God. And they've seen and they've heard the truth, but they choose. They choose to not accept the message. They have rejected, in fact, what Paul says. They have rejected the truth. It's a conscious decision. Hosea was speaking to people in the northern tribes of Israel who were going to be wiped off the map by the Assyrians in just a few years. And people refused to listen. They heard the truth, they knew the truth, and they refused to listen. Once more from Dwayne Garrett, he says, the book offers more than a simple statement of facts. It offers a journey to understanding and to God. The task of comprehending Hosea is bound up with the task of knowing God. Hosea is saying to the people, listen to the words of God. Hear the words of God and change your life accordingly, because you will have understanding, and that understanding will take you on a journey to know God and to know Him more fully and more intimately. And our challenge today is to take the wisdom found in the book of Hosea and to apply it. It's a call for us to look at our lives, to find where our lives do not measure up to the holiness that God calls us to live in, and then to adjust our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to work within us to change us so that we begin to look more like Christ. And it's a call for each and every one of us to hear the words of God and to apply them to our lives.